This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever find yourself playing the budgeting game, shifting a little money here, a little there, and hoping it all works out? Well, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive, you can be a better budgeter and potentially lower your insurance bill too. You tell Progressive what you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll help you find options within your budget. Try it today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Not available in all states. For business owners like you, the American Express Business Platinum Card works just as hard as you do to help you pursue your passions. With its world-class business and travel benefits, you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. The Amex Business Platinum Card offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business, enabling you to flex and adapt as your business evolves. And you'll earn 5 times membership rewards points on flights and prepaid hotels booked on AmexTravel.com, so that going that extra mile for your business is even more rewarding. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
The kick is blocked. Yeah. It is blocked. Yeah. It is blocked. And the Packers have won.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Allen going to step up in the pocket. Now he's going to take it and run. And muscles his way into the end zone. Are you kidding me?
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, co-host of Good Morning Football, Kyle Brandt. Still to come, actor John David Washington. Plus, latest news and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number 3 of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Kyle Brandt just left our studios. The actor John David Washington is about to step into it. Very excited to have him here in person. He's been a previous guest on this program when he was promoting Tenet. You also know him from that brilliant film Black Klansman as well, The Book of Eli.
Ballers.
Ballers, of course. I know you would go there.
Ballers. Both of us.
From television. So I'm sure you guys have questions for him from his Ballers days.
All right? Types. Yeah.
Of course.
A terrific Funhouse. Film, The Piano Lesson. What a cast. Him and Samuel L. Jackson, Ray Fisher. So many other terrific ones, and actors and actresses in adaptation from August Wilson's Pulitzer Prize winning play. He performed in that, and he's in the film version of it, available in theaters now and on Netflix starting on Friday. Speaking of Netflix, we just chopped up the Jake Paul Mike Tyson fight. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the program. Let's go to Terzo in Iowa, one of our regulars. What's up, Terzo?
All what's right. up, Rich? What's up, Brock?
What's Mirzo? Up, brother?
Hey, how you guys
what's
doing
up,
today?
G?
What's up, buddy?
Well, first off, Rich, I'm going to go back to what you guys were talking about on Friday. Red did not hang himself in Shawshank. Let's just clear the air on that one. He spent too much time in prison to do that, and I don't want to go down that dirty rabbit hole. So
thank you.
I wanted to throw that one out there first.
Okay.
Rich, last week I had the Broncos money line, lost on the blocked field goal. I had the Bears on the money line yesterday.
Oh, goodness.
Lost by a blocked field goal. And then I get kicked in the nards by the Sea Chickens. Our defense can't stop anybody right now, and it seems like we give away these leads, which is not like us. It hasn't been like this team for several years. And at the start of the season, whenever I did my win-loss, I said we'd go 12-5. But I also said that I could see us very well going 10-7. Right now, if we're to do 10-7, we still have to go on the road to the Packers. We still have to go on the road to the Bills. We're going to have to deal with the Rams and Cardinals both again, and we have the Lions coming home. The next 2 weeks are pivotal. We have to at least win one of those two on the road, and hopefully be able to survive our in-division games and maybe take one L against the Lions, because I don't think we can stop them right now.
Yeah, the Lions.
I don't know who can.
And, the Lions are right now on some sort of a retribution tour, whether it's somebody that actually stood in their way or is just basically telling the rest of the National Football League who they are right now. And thanks for the call, Terzo. I greatly appreciate it. He's referring to the Sea Chickens, the Seahawks, because his team are the Niners.
You know, I've been very bullish on the 49ers preseason and throughout this entire season to say, just everybody take a beat. By the time they come back from their bye, they should be much healthier as a team and getting healthier. They'll get McCaffrey back. Ayuk's gone, but there's going to be enough there for them to start putting their foot in the ground, gaining momentum, and becoming the proverbial team you don't want to face once the playoff hits. And I am now entering week 12 very concerned about that glass being half full. Kittle got sat yesterday with a hamstring injury, and Nick Bosa couldn't finish the game with what they're calling an oblique or a hip injury. Mm-hmm. And I sure, you know, those hamstrings are dicey. Yeah. I hope we see Kittle back real soon. I don't know when we're going to see Bosa back over something like that, where he could not finish a game. And he got, when he got hurt, he got Geno Smith down on the ground when he got hurt. And I am concerned that the offense is missing too many parts, or has to play perfectly enough to get enough points to overcome a defense that isn't getting healthy. And they're not good enough to overcome that stuff. That's what it's looking like right now. And I am genuinely concerned for the team moving forward. They are in a mosh pit in this division. And the problem is they've lost two games at home in this division. They're 5-5 like the Rams, and they're 5-5 like the Seahawks. And no one's running away with it. The Cardinals are 6-4, but the Cardinals and now the Seahawks have won in San Francisco. And the Rams held serve against San Francisco at home as well. Remember, everybody was banged up in that game, both sides? Missing stars all over the place? I'm officially genuinely concerned about the San Francisco 49ers, and I have not said that once in the first 3 months of the season. If I had to place a wager, I'm not allowed to do that sort of stuff, a mental marker on this division, I would choose Arizona right now. They're playing the most consistently. They've got enough of a momentum swing. And the Rams, 1 minute, get back to 500. The next minute, have a dreadful offensive performance and mistake-prone performance at home against the Dolphins team ripe for the taking. Then they come back around and take on New England and put the bang thing on them in the second half to the point where a comeback for New England couldn't be fully mounted. So the Rams can actually put the pedal to the metal and win this division too. The Seahawks, I'll tell you, man, Jackson Smith and Jigba's becoming the one there. Mm-hmm. 11 targets, 10 catches, 110 yards in week 11. He's got 17 catches for 290 or two touches over the last two. Now, I know that the previous two games, DK Metcalf was out, but JSN is coming into his own now. Mm-hmm. And they do have Kenneth Walker, who is a terrific running back, too. Yep. If Geno could just, like, not turn it over, and the defense can start tightening its bolts. They're just, I mean, 1 week they win, next week they don't. Then they go on a losing streak. Again, who can play consistently enough? I look at the team that's won 4 in a row going into the bye. And that's Arizona. But the Seahawks came up with a must win. That was a must win. And San Francisco's blown a 10-point fourth quarter lead in both of their losses against the Rams and the Cardinals. I mean, that's a 10-point fourth quarter lead, and they lost those. I'm really nervous for you Niners fans right now. That's for sure. Back to the phone lines here on the Rich Eisen Show. Corey in Illinois, let's take your call. What's up, Corey?
What's up, Rich? Love your show, man.
Thanks, pal.
Just quick question. A couple points to hit on, man. One, I think we all got bamboozled on the Fight Friday night. I think Netflix owes everybody a free month subscription.
Okay.
But we'll see what they do about that. Two, You know, I'm a big diehard Raider fan, man. I was all in for AP last year, man, but after seeing what I'm seeing this year, I understand there's injuries, I understand there's this, but it's just always the Raiders, Raider, and Rich. I don't know what it's going to take for the Raiders to stop Raider. And I don't know. Maybe Tom Brady coming in, 90%. Maybe we'll see what we do with the quarterback. But I don't know, man. But I just don't think that – I'm not big on the AP. I don't think he has the head coaching material to lead men. I don't know what he does on the sideline to be a head coach. I haven't figured that out all year long. I think the mystique last year of being a Raider, getting everyone pumped up, I think that washed away. And I think here we are, we're looking at a great player as Max Crosby. Don't know what to say, don't know what to do, wasting his career. But we'll go on, and my question for you is, is Aaron Rodgers done, sir? Are we done with Aaron Rodgers? I know that's your team, but it's not good, man. It's not looking good, man.
No, it's
thanks for taking my call, Rich.
Okay,
love your show again. You're one of the best on the radio, man.
Thank you.
Appreciate that.
It's Corey in Illinois.
Rack him.
I mean, we talked about the Raiders before. Without question, most disappointing Jet team in recent memory. They are irrelevant through 11 weeks. Irrelevant. Maybe their only relevance is if you've got Garrett Wilson or Breece Hall or Davante Adams or the Jets defense on your fantasy teams. That's the only reason to pay attention to them right now.
Breece Hall looked good.
It's so disappointing. I don't even know what to say. You know, the owner cashes in the coach in week 5, thought he would get a spark. Nothing. One win. That's all he got out of the spark. One win. And the question is who's going to be the one to choose the coach? I think it's going to be Woody before he goes back to becoming an ambassador somewhere in the world. And then he hands it off to his brother. Are you going to keep the GM? You're not going to keep the coach. You got to find a new one. And whoever comes in will be like, okay, what's the plan of quarterback for Rodgers? Do I have to keep his system? How long is he going to play? What do you do with Davante Adams? What are you going to do with if the Jets wind up with a top 5 pick, absolutely they're choosing another quarterback. End of story. And I don't know what you do. This is quite a lot of moving parts. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then what do you blame it on Rodgers? Did he play defense when Anthony Richardson caught fire in the fourth quarter and suddenly looked like Cam Newton? When he's coming back and he's playing up and down again, and then Richardson comes out and throws a career-high 272 passing yards with 2 touchdowns in the air, and then he runs them in too? He becomes the second quarterback in Colts franchise history to have a game with 1 passing touchdowns, 2 rushing touchdowns, and 30 rush yards. Last one to do that was Burt Jones, who did it against the Jets in 1974.
Wow, Andrew Luck didn't do that, huh?
He joined Luck and Brissett as the only quarterbacks in Colts franchise history to have multiple games with 2 or more rush yards. Yeah, but Luck didn't do it. Nope.
Wow. 2 or more rushing touchdowns, I imagine.
Yeah, 2 or more rushing touchdowns. Okay. Yep. Wow. I mean, Richardson, last you heard from him, he's benched because he was tired. And the Jets watch him march down the field in the fourth quarter after, you know, Rodgers did give him the lead. But he's now got 34 starts in a row with fewer than 300 pass yards. And there's some really talented guys all over the lot. So it's not working on any phase. But somebody's got to come in for the new gig and figure out what do you do with Rodgers. And for the Colts, to salud. And it looks like the 2-game break gave Richardson the sort of wind at his back that he needed. Or is it against the Jets? Is that what it is? Right? Next up for the Colts are the Lions. So now hopefully he brings, at least Richardson's got quite a bit of confidence going into that game. Meanwhile, the Giants We hadn't heard from them since losing in Munich in overtime. And I'll tell you this, like I told you coming back, from that game, we were talking right from the jump, right from that first set of downs for the Giants when Malik Nabers was wide open on third down and Daniel Jones airmailed him. Yeah. We go to commercial break and Kurt's just like, I look over at Kurt. Kurt's just shaking his head. He's shaking his head and we began to compile, just in case, with our crack crew from CBS. Began to compile missed throws by Daniel Jones, just in case this was going to be a theme for the game. And it turned out to be when there was a sack that Jones took on a flea flicker that you could always, when you're like, oh, well, why are you doing flea flicker when you can't, protect the quarterback? It takes too long to unfold and whatever. And then Kurt's like, both guys on the play were wide open and Jones didn't throw it up. Took the sack. And that's when I looked at the top of the screen, top of the sideline, right in front of me, and I saw Brian Daboll going nuts. And it wasn't because there was a penalty that wasn't called, anything like that. I 1,000% took it to mean he's done with this guy. Honestly. Jones had a terrific fourth quarter in leading him back, but it's just, you know, a hole that they didn't have to be in against Carolina. And they did get a chance to have Tyrone Tracy start overtime with a touch, and then he fumbled it, and the rest, as we all know, yada, yada, yada. Here we are today, and I'm not surprised by this move. The Giants are benching Daniel Jones. Now, I'm surprised that they're going with Tommy Cutlets, because Drew Locke's sitting there, and I guess you don't need to figure out what you need to see in Drew Locke. They're going to go back to Tommy DeVito to play out the string again.
Drew Locke's too good. They don't want to win any games.
That could be it, too. Or DeVito, they're going for a spark because last year they certainly got it from him. They beat the Packers on a Monday night.
Yeah.
So Tommy Cutlets back in. And Brian Daboll speaking to the media today, talking about why he made the decision.
So we're making a quarterback switch here from Daniel, and we're going to go with Tommy. I spoke with all the quarterbacks this morning before our morning meeting, let them know what the direction that we're going. Those are never easy conversations. Got a lot of respect for all three of those guys. Evaluating a bunch of things and looking at a lot of tape and being around Tommy last year where he created a little bit of a spark for us. That's the reason why we're going with Tommy. Drew will be the backup. Continue to work with him. He's been nothing but a pro, and as was Daniel. So it's never an easy conversation to have with the players, but felt like this was a necessary move for us, and look forward to working with Tommy and getting him ready to go against Tampa.
When a major decision like this gets made, the inevitable question is like, how much input did you get from the higher ups up the flow chart? And this was asked of Coach Daboll as well today.
Did ownership give you input, or was it you guys coming to them and say, hey, this is the decision that we made?
Yeah, again, respect the question. Our conversations will remain private here, but we made this decision, and let's get Tommy ready to go.
Again, from what I picked up when I was over there in Munich, the ownership group of the Giants really like Brian Daboll. And there's lots to like about him. Lots to like about him. And you could sit here and say the thing to like about him is the guy won Coach of the Year with Daniel Jones. Had a playoff game. They also had Saquon. That's the question, is how do they feel about the general manager as well? The sliding door moment was not signing Saquon 2 springs ago. If you signed him long-term 2 springs ago and you franchise tagged Daniel Jones, yeah, You'd be in a different situation now. More wins? Sure. How many more wins? You're in it for the division? Do you not take Malik Nabers? Who is the quarterback there? Who would have been the quarterback there this year? I don't know. I don't know those answers for you. But it's not going to be Daniel Jones anymore. And it would have to take a fugitive type train wreck for Daniel Jones to take another snap for the New York Giants team, because any injury, there's injury guarantees for money and stuff like that. Financially, it makes sense to just say, we're done. Daniel Jones handing off to Tyrone Tracy Jr., him fumbling the ball, is the last snap Daniel Jones will ever take as a New York Giant quarterback, because next year they save $19 million on the cap by cutting him before June 1st. He's done. And then the question is, where do the Giants go from here? Who's the quarterback that they draft? What is their record going to be? And do they keep the coach and the general manager? I think they do. If I had a guess, they absolutely do, and let them choose who the next quarterback is going to be. That's my guess. I don't know if that makes Giants fans happy or not, but it's the truth. But it's Tommy Cutler, chicken cutlets on Thanksgiving.
Cutlet season.
Yeah, cutlets on Thanksgiving.
All right.
That makes it more interesting, doesn't it? Cutlets versus Cooper Rush.
I need Del Tufo to weigh in on this, man, because
that's tough.
Yeah,
that's tough.
Because you're friends with the mom, right, Mike?
You should have been starting quicker than
this. Are you now reaching out to your Jersey friends again?
Yeah.
For us?
Yeah.
That told me nothing.
That's the only words Mike has said today. Mike's tired. Mike works too many jobs.
I don't trust my Jersey friends. They don't get back to me.
Oh.
Hey.
I'm an L.A. guy, 30 years. Paycheck to paycheck, L.A.
Oh, this guy
over here. Gone a long time.
Get out of here, Mikey D.
Each one of those three paychecks goes to a different one of your boats, is what you're saying.
Giants fans have wanted Daniel Jones gone. They have finally received their wish. Today is the day. Today is the day. They looked at the tape and they saw what Kurt Warner was seeing live. There are wide open guys all over the place. They want somebody who's going to play fast and hit them.
Now it's Cam Ward, Quinn Ewers watch. They probably won't get it
for the Giants.
Unless they're the number one pick.
Yeah, because the Jaguars are going to be sitting there and saying, who wants the quarterback? Because we'll trade out.
Mm-hmm.
Or...
That Trevor Lawrence isn't. No way.
What if Bill comes in and he has a different vision?
Oof, that would be stunning.
I'm just saying. You never know.
Because there's cap ramifications of trading a contract like that.
Yeah, especially because he just signed it.
All right. Well, can we take a break? Is it time? Can we do that? Let's take a break. John David Washington is here.
Yeah.
This is going to be fun. I wouldn't miss this if I were you. We'll take your phone calls to wrap it up after.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself and see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes, and it could mean hundreds more in your pocket. Visit Progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Hey, everybody, let's talk about Game Time tickets. If you haven't noticed, basketball season's right around the corner, and I'm really looking forward to seeing all the great action. And now with Game Time's new feature, Game Time Picks, it's even easier to see your favorite teams play live. Game Time Picks filters out the fluff to show you only incredible deals on great seats so you don't have to waste time searching through thousands of tickets. And here in Los Angeles, there's not one but two pro basketball teams with two different arenas, so you need to see the view from your seat. You also need the all-in pricing feature I've been telling you about, so you get to see your total up front with no surprise fees at checkout. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time Picks. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for details. Again, create an account, redeem my code EISEN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. What time is it? Game Time. The Rich Eisen Show is sponsored by Grainger. Does this sound familiar? You're a maintenance specialist, and you've been squaring off with a leaky radiator at your facility for hours. You're both drenched in sweat. You've thrown the whole playbook at it, but so far it's got an answer for everything. What you need is a teammate, a pro who's seen it all before, and that's Grainger.
With support specialists always ready to chat, the product you need, plus a million more, just give this ringer a ring. Call 1-800-GRANGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by one of their local branches.
Back here on the Roku Sports Channel, radio audience will return in less than 2 minutes' time, so it's the first time to say hello and sneak in a clip of The Piano Lesson in select theaters, now available for streaming on Netflix starting this Friday. One of the stars, John David Washington, here in studio. Good to see you, sir.
Yeah, right.
Yes, that's great.
Happy to be here.
Thrilled to have you here, because you've been on the show before, but on the phone.
On the phone.
I think it was for Tenet a few years ago.
Yes, that's right. Yep.
But now here is The Piano Lesson, which is based on a Pulitzer Prize winning play that you have performed on the boards, if you will.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah, look at me. And now in theaters near you, about a piano and its history within its family, and also trying to sell it or not. There's so many dynamics at play. Here's a clip. Wow. Pretty damn cool, man. Congratulations. You. And your brother's a director, right?
Yeah, Malcolm Washington, yes.
Yeah. Awesome.
Family affair.
So much to watch when you see The Piano Lessons, also going to be available on Netflix. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. And look who has just stopped by for the radio audience. We just saw a clip of The Piano Lesson in select theaters, now available for streaming on Netflix starting this Friday right here through the Roku portal. One of the stars of this film, but also the current leading rusher in the history of the Southern Intercollegiate Athletic Conference for Morehouse College, none other than John David Washington.
Shout out to the SIAC, yes. Thanks for having me.
Those, I did not, I just spat all facts in introducing you, correct?
I believe so. I didn't know if I was still the holder or not, so I trust you. I trust your research.
You are still the all-time leading rusher.
I'll take it then.
I think you had a single season record also for Morehouse College,
right? I did.
I
had a single game record. I'm pretty sure that's also still there. It was a 242. I had in the game against Johnson C. Smith a long time ago.
242 yards.
Yeah. I was doing all right.
How many times you hit the end zone in that game?
I didn't mention that. That's why I said only one touchdown. I was getting hawked. I was getting hawked.
And vultured.
Man, what? Man, no breakaway. That was the problem. I can make you miss in the hole, but like you're going to just catch. You're going to run me down.
Now, I told this story before when you were on the phone, but I'll tell it again here. NFL Network, we were 3 years old. 2006, and I got a call saying, you know, hey, for tonight's preseason action, I was hosting it and I was doing the post game for when the games were all over. They're like, you know, would you be fine if there was a guest watching the Rams game with you? Mm. And I'm like, sure, who is it? And they said, it's Denzel Washington.
Wow.
And it was your dad.
Wow.
Because this was before, you know, preseason action could be seen on phones or anything like that. The only way to see this game was through the satellite system of the NFL Network. And your dad came to watch your game.
Wow.
And I sat in my office, you know, trying to keep my distance, not trying to fanboy him and ask him all sorts of questions. Because he was just like locked in anytime you had the rock and just locked in on it.
He's a big fan, even in those Morehouse days too. He was on the sideline, just cheering me on, coaching up. You know, he's really into sports. He loves football.
Right.
You know, his team is Dallas, so I'm making fun of him right now.
T.J. Jefferson's team is Dallas as well.
You know, y'all got a big one tonight. So.
We do.
Right.
Yeah. But and I'm an Eagles person. I love the Eagles.
Oh.
So, we're in the same division.
Oh.
So you know, humble brag. We're doing good.
But that was pretty neat for me to see all of that. Yeah. And so you coming out of Morehouse College. And you were undrafted.
Yeah.
And what happened?
Was it Scott Linehan's St. Louis Rams? Steven Jackson was the man. And we developed a bond. My first carry in the NFL was a preseason against the Colts. I think I was in my back of my own end zone and I rushed for, I think it was a 10-yard gain. And I don't think I saw the ball. I saw the ball one more time after that. Then I really didn't see any action after that. It was weird. But I did stay. I'll stay on as a practice squad member for two seasons.
Look at you holding the ball with two hands. Look at that. That's 4 points of pressure
right there,
John David
Washington.
That's
it. Fresh out of Morehouse.
Like, looking real swole there, too.
I was going to say, look at him forearm. Mars, man. That's crazy. That's crazy. That's that NFL forum right there. But no, you know, I remember just being able to, you get fresh cleats, fresh gloves every day. I'm like, at Morehouse, you didn't. You had to bring your own refs, bring your own clothes, bring your own everything. So it was like, yo, you can refresh your gloves every day. They're like, what? Are you all right, son? I was like, no, I'm not used to this. So you're seeing a very excited young player with some fresh gloves right there.
Right. And so, but Steven Jackson was, he's a great human.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
He's a great human.
Good dude, yeah.
So he kind of
took like a mentor, you know, and we bonded, man. It's funny, like Thanksgiving is coming up. I'd be at his house for Thanksgivings when I was out there. And yeah, we just bonded a lot, you know. He was a great dude and a powerful, powerful player. I hope he should be in the Hall of Fame one day.
He, you know, obviously has a great history with the Rams organization, yeah, and just as a great human. That's great to hear that he was taking you under his wing in that regard. And so, but after you got cut by the Rams, you didn't give up though, right?
Didn't give up. Yeah, UFL, United Football League, Sacramento Mountain Lions. The late Denny Green was the head coach.
Denny Green was your head coach.
He
was out of here.
Yes, it was incredible. He was great. One of my favorite coaches I've ever played for. He treated us like men. He treated everybody fair, and I got to play a little bit. In fact, my first start in the UFL, I got Player of the Week. I had was like a $120-something, 2 touchdowns. And we had, the league had some success. You know, there was a team in Omaha, there was Sacramento, there was Vegas, and Hartford, Connecticut, I believe. And
right.
Those stadiums would be filled up. I played in the NFL Europa in 2007.
The Rhine Fire,
right? Rhine Fire. I was in Dusseldorf, yeah. Yeah, and the Sea Devils as well. The was it Hamburg Sea Devils?
Sea Devils.
Bringing back memories, man.
NFL
Europe. I remember I got like traded to Rhine Fire. They put me on a train in Germany. This was before like, you know, Instagram and stuff. And yeah. I just like, good luck. Hopefully you make it. Thank God I made it. I was literally with my bags and stuff. It was crazy. My agent didn't even know I got traded. Like, I told him at the end of the season, wait, when'd you go to Rhine Fire? Like, are you kidding me right now? it was quite the experience. Learned a lot.
So were there any future NFL players playing on your team or anything like that?
Let me see. That team, there was some. What was his name? He was safety. He was a safety. Played for the Minnesota Vikings for a while. Vallejo. Is it Vallejo?
Okay. Or
Zendejo, I think.
Zendejo.
Yeah. He played at Sacramento with me. And you could tell then. Oh, you know what? Brent Grimes. He was in Hamburg.
Okay.
He was a Sea Devil. And, you know, he was a cornerback for Atlanta for a while. Played for Miami. Great cornerback. He was also, he had a great career. And he played with me in NFL Europe.
So when did you realize acting was going to be a better path for you?
Well, I wanted to do it my whole life, Rich. Like, honestly, I was just on this rebellious quest of independence. So football was that way. It was my outlet to, you know, I mean, listen, I earned my own scholarship. I was able to pay, you know, make a living for myself. I was earning my own keep, you know.
Sure.
So I kept going that way. But when I tore my Achilles and you know, the doctor said, got some good news and bad news. The good news is we can get you into surgery in 4 days. The bad news is you're probably never going to play again. So it was after that transition, there was an audition, open call. They were looking for ball players for a show called Ballers, and they wanted to cast some real football players. And I found myself in an audition, and, you know, 3 months later, 10 auditions later, I got the part.
So you still had a little bit of the sports world.
Exactly. That was my way in. I mean, it was, God couldn't have planned it any better. And so I shot the pilot in Miami, and then I moved to New York and went to school, went to HB Studios. But football was my way in. You know, it was football's last gift to me, was entering me into a field that I wanted to do my whole life.
You know, and again, you know, we talked about it when you were here or on the phone with us for Tenet. Black Klansman is quite the film, sir, and you are great in it. But these guys, that's all I want to talk to you about is Ballers.
Oh, yeah. Ballers was awesome.
That was our show, man.
Thank you.
Yeah. It was so fun. Yeah.
It was. Yeah. It was. They said, you know, called it like the Entourage.
Yeah, it's like a sports Entourage.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
At a time when Entourage kind of went off the air, so there was a void there.
Yeah, we transitioned.
Ballers kind of helped fill that void.
What I loved about it, too, was getting insight on what players and athletes are really going through. When you see contract negotiations maybe go awry or at a stalemate, it's not because the the receivers being selfish. I mean, sometimes it is, but a lot of times that's just business. That's protocol. And you get to, you know, get an in-depth look at what they go through, the kind of pressures that they're under week to week, Sunday to Sunday. I think it was a remarkable experience for me, and I love shooting Miami. It was great.
Of course. And who are some of the players that you met?
There were so many appearances. You know, Steven Jackson, speaking of which, so he came out during the pilot. This is so cool. So Peter Burr, the great Peter Burr. He's been on the show.
Yeah. Yes, of course.
The great Peter Burr. He's a wildcat, right?
Yes, he is.
You know what I mean? He's wild. I love him. He ushered me into, he directed the pilot. So Steven Jackson just came out to Miami to visit me on set. I'm like, can you believe this? I'm doing this thing, He came out, had his jewelry on and everything. Peter Burr was like, put him in the scene. He just put him in the scene, and he had him ad-lib talking about this elephant that he bought, this $250,000 elephant. Tell him about the elephant you bought, Steve. And Steve was going with it. He was like flowing. Like, $250,000. It was Omar Benson Miller, the other actor.
Sure.
We were having this whole...
too?
He's been here as well. Right. Yeah. So we had... It was this whole ad-libbed scene that was improv that Steve... So that was one of my favorite. I think he did a great job. He was great.
You know that. People have come up with to Steven Jackson in his life thinking he really did have a $250,000. Elephant.
Yeah, I mean, it was believable. I was like, I don't remember seeing it in St. Louis. Maybe it was in Vegas. Because, man, he was believable. And what was amazing about it was that he wasn't planning on being in the scenes. Peter just threw him in, and he was sharp. He was ready to go. So that was great.
That's fantastic. That was John David Washington here on the Rich Eisen Show, The Piano Lesson in select theaters now, available for streaming on Netflix. This week on Friday, November 22nd, let's talk about this. It's pretty wild in the fact that this is a Pulitzer Prize winning play that when it was on Broadway, directed by Samuel Jackson's wife.
Yes, Latanya Jackson.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
the
now,
revival. Yes.
Right. And now you are in the film portraying the character that Samuel Jackson first played when it was on, performed in Yale.
Yale,
right?
Exactly. Yeah, 1987.
And now you're playing this role. He's in the film that's directed by your brother.
Right.
Did I get all this right?
You did great. So give everybody give it up. Kind of killed it.
Must be so personal for you, though.
Indeed. Well, in sports terms, I imagine it's Steve Young. Montana in the new era. You know what I mean? It's like I'm getting to play with Steve Young, who originated, you know, the West Coast offense in a way. You know, it was an incredible experience, deeply personal. And I felt a lot of pressure, but that's kind of what I wanted. You know, I've been able to build a career and trying to carve my name into this thing. And I felt like this is the time of what I've done. This is the time to jump in into something like this. And I felt like I'm going to find out the kind of, I was going to say athlete, but the kind of actor I am and want to be. When I come out of this, that was the purpose of doing it.
The pressure comes from, I could feel, sense where the pressure points might be.
Yeah.
Is one of them that you're performing the role that Samuel Jackson helped create or bring to life for the first time, and he's in a scene with you.
Right. Right.
Right. I mean, is that pressure
big
or
time.
You don't think about it?
No. I mean, like what's more so on the boards, as you stated, like when we're on Broadway and he's looking at me every night and I'm like, I better not mess this up. You know, I better for one, because it's live. But also he originated it. And Sam don't like nobody. Right. He's a tough critic. So I'm going to find out right away if I was trash or not, you know, and thank God I wasn't. Both he and Michael Potts, who plays the other character, are Wilsonians. They knew August Wilson. Michael Potts, you might know him from The Wire.
His brother Mazzone, right?
Yes. Oh. Legendary actor. Whew. So he's done all August Wilson's plays. So, like, they're looking at me like, all right, Rook, what you got? You know what I mean? Like,
No rookie, though.
I mean, in a way, on the boards, yes.
Okay.
On the boards, this is a whole different animal.
On Broadway.
It's a full contact sport on Broadway, yeah. So I, you know, the pressure was there, but that's what I wanted to lean into. I knew I'd find out about myself after this.
I am mandated to follow up. What do you mean Sam Jackson doesn't like anybody? Do you mean Samuel Jackson doesn't like anybody?
Oh, no.
What do you mean by that?
What I mean is he's a tough crowd. He's a tough critic. Like, if he feels like you're too actory or faking it, he's going to call you out. And I love that. You know, he's going to tell you about yourself. And I didn't get any of those kinds of notes from him, thank goodness. So he was very supportive, and we were rolling. It felt like a real uncle nephew relationship, both with he and Michael Potts.
And so how do you feel having somebody who's performed this on Broadway, now doing it in film? How do you feel it has translated to the screen?
Beautifully. I feel like I earned his trust, and when you can earn OG's trust like that, legendary people's artists trust like that, mm-hmm. you're free to try anything and go for it. Your confidence is at an all-time high. So it was a seamless transition.
What's it like being directed by your brother?
Man, honestly, I wasn't really looking at him as my brother. This is a director. He's an incredible filmmaker.
Older or younger?
He's younger. Okay. I mean, in age, but in wisdom, sure. he's beyond his years. But only time it felt real sibling-like was some of the stunt work. I was doing wire work. I fight this ghost. And we kept doing more takes than usual. And I was like, okay, I think this is about him being 7 years old. I'm pretty sure. Like, why all of a sudden we need another one, Malcolm? No, we just didn't get it. Like, see, there you go. And so he was beat, because I'm getting beat up in that scene. So,
right.
So he was loving that.
And so your dad is also a producer of the film as well,
my
right?
dad and my sister.
So, yeah. Okay, was everybody ever on the set all at the same time?
Yeah, yeah. They were all there at one
pressure
time.
Pressure, too.
You better, you talk about the pressure points. That was another one, but this is what I wanted to lean into. And I must say, I've worked with my sister, Katya, before. She produced mm-hmm. a movie I did called Malcolm and Marie. Came out a couple years ago. So I was familiar with our working relationship, but with my father, it was an interesting one. But, again, knowing that Sam Jackson is there, Michael Potts is there. If I got their respect, then I can do it. But this was the challenge. This is why I went for it.
Does your dad give you advice on this run, or you don't seek it, or what's your relationship like with him?
Advice in that don't mess this up. You know, because he's producing.
That sounds like fatherly advice.
You know what I mean? Like, tough, like Denny Green, tough coaching. You know what I mean? We were who they thought they were. Let him off the hook.
He is who we think he is. Okay. So I got a couple more questions for you here, John. So what's your first memory where you were on a set or anything like that? What's your first moment where you're like, okay, this is life. This is my family. This is what I got.
That's a great question. Thank you for that. There's a great memory I have. Not, you don't just run 40s. You ask great questions. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Do you stretch before the 40s?
Absolutely not. I stretch before asking questions.
Risky. Oh, professional. Well done. Well,
but it's risky, yeah.
Risky, brother. I mean, as we get more mature, you need to.
I appreciate you using that word as opposed to ancient.
Well, some of you've heard that before. But the memory I've had, this was he did a film called Glory, one of my favorite films of all time, right?
Yeah, come
he plays
on.
The character Trip. And I was on set for the big battle scene, this battle sequence directed by Ed Zwick. So we were, I guess, in Video Village or somewhere off in the distance when we're seeing all these fireworks and loud noises go off. And I just remember him coming from the ashes and like he appeared and he said, John David, you want to come and see the set? And I geeked up. I was like, oh, my God. And I looked at my mom. She said, she gave a slow no, and I was devastated. I was like, oh, my God, I couldn't believe it. I got to. But that, I just love, that's one of my first memories of being on the set on Glory. But I love that film. I love that character. I knew every line of every character in that film. Morgan Freeman slapping my dad, but like they bonded afterwards. It was great. In the film, not in real life.
Yes.
but being on set for that movie, and I just remember he looked so heroic coming out the ashes and asking me if I wanted to go check out the set. I'll never forget that.
Now, your mom said no because she didn't feel you were ready for Civil War carnage?
That's
or
a good
what?
Question, because I definitely saw the movie. Pops is getting whipped, people dying and stuff. I saw the movie, but she wouldn't let me see. Yeah, I don't know why she said. I should ask her about it. It's Thanksgiving coming up. I'll ask her. That's a good. I never thought to ask her why she said no. She'll probably deny it. She'll probably say, I didn't say no, John. That's probably what she's
talking about. I
don't want to get involved. Yeah, you started. Yeah. And this is the movie. God. This is piano lesson, family disputes right there. You don't start it something, man.
I don't want to get involved.
Yeah, you are involved, sir.
I'm in it now.
Yeah.
Before I let you go, Eagles going to the Super Bowl this year?
You better believe it. You better believe it. Is that even a question? Yes, you see us out here. We're gelling at the right time. You know, so I'm a little worried about that Detroit team, though.
Now, are you an Eagle fan? Why are you an Eagle fan? Yeah. Just because your dad was a Cowboy fan?
It is not that deeply rooted in. No, it's more about Randall Cunningham. I never, growing up, I never seen a ball player at that position look like me play that position the way he did. To me, he revolutionized it. I wanted to be him growing up. I mean, he's everything. If I were ever to like receive an award, I'd want him to present me. You know what I'm saying? Like I hold him that high.
No kidding.
You know, he's on the pantheon of greats. Like he's amazing. So seeing him in that, the way he looked, there might be footage out there, NFL films My father was shooting a movie called Philadelphia at the time, and we got to go to a game, and we hit the sideline, and he's telling me about the importance of having a glove and a towel, and you just see me with some big teeth, little face, saying, okay, yes, just a grin and everything, wide-eyed, because this was my hero, as giant, and my dad introduced me. So it was a great memory of that, too.
So that moment where he took that hit from Lawrence Taylor, stayed on his feet, kept going.
That
famous moment.
Yes, even just some of his pocket presence stuff, the way he'd open up like an eagle and deliver the ball to a Fred Barnett or whoever. Like, I loved him. I just never seen anything. Like, I was playing him in Tecmo Bowl. I'd play with him, you know, as him.
Nice.
You know, I just loved everything about him. So that's why I love the Eagles. It's funny because I'm from L.A., but anytime they were on, or at least catch highlights. And we could never get past Aikman and company. We could never beat the Cowboys, but I loved them.
I know. And, you know, they're coming Sunday night. They're in town. Eagles are coming in. Yeah, Rams, Sunday night football.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
See, I didn't even see. Dang.
So I don't know if you're sticking around.
I think I'm going to be on the East Coast by then.
Darn. It's all good. No, it's all good. John David Washington, The Piano Lesson, in select theaters now. Check it out. Great film. Great story. Obviously, Pulitzer Prize winning play. Available for streaming on Netflix starting on Friday. Anytime. Please come back.
Thank you. I had a good time.
Awesome.
Thanks.
Same here. Thanks. Back to wrap
Thanks,
up
everybody.
This busy Monday show in a sec. For business owners like you, the American Express Business Platinum Card works just as hard as you do to help you pursue your passions. With its world-class business and travel benefits, you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. The Amex Business Platinum Card offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business, enabling you to flex and adapt as your business evolves. And you'll earn 5 times membership rewards points on flights and prepaid hotels booked on AmexTravel.com, so that going that extra mile for your business is even more rewarding. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. You love their jingle? You're going to love their friendly, helpful service even better, because they're in the business of keeping your car on the road. And the parts knowledge they have, it's all you need for your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll find you just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or quick service? They'll help you there and find the right part, or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. So stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/EISEN. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Taking a 747 and driving it into a building. Did you really do that? That actually happened?
Yes, we did. We really did it. We looked at doing it with miniatures and CG and set builds and everything. And when you added up all those numbers, it occurred to us that it might actually be cheaper to buy a real plane. originally, we had our eye on like a 737, something like that.
Yes.
And we went out to the the airplane graveyard, or where we could buy an old 737. And while we were looking at the 737s, I started looking across the field. You could see these MD-11s and 747s. And I sort of thought, and I said to the line producer, well, hang on a second, why can't we get one of those big ones? Let's if we're going to do it. I actually had the unique experience of impulse buying a 747. And then getting to crash it.
Before I let you go, what is your remote drop movie, Christopher? Wherever you're watching television and you see a film is a favorite of yours, or you just don't mind binging it, even if it's not yours, obviously. Which one is it? Just a fan of film?
I haven't heard the remote drop as a phrase. That's a fantastic one.
There you go.
Yeah, I love it. And there are so many. I mean, I think like Kubrick, it's a remote drop. But some of the great comedies too. And I mean, Talladega Nights, I'm never going to be able to switch that off.
Okay, now then. Really?
What?
The Ballad of Ricky Bobby is a Christopher Nolan mic drop movie. Is that what you're saying?
If you ain't first, you're last.
You're not wrong, Christopher. You're not wrong. You're not. I'm just that's fantastic. That does Will Ferrell know this? Did you just reveal that?
He does now.
He does now. Oh my! It's one of our favorite moments in the history of the show is getting that from Christopher Nolan, right? Back here on the Rich Eisen Show. What a fun show, everybody. Overreaction Monday's out, so please, everybody, check it out on our YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts. And good show.
Let's go.
Dak just got IR'd officially. Mm-hmm. Oof. I'm sorry, buddy.
Bummer.
I'm really sorry.
Sorry about what?
No, I'm serious. That the Cowboys season is entering week 11. It's just over. It's over.
It's rush season. You know what I mean?
No, I know that, but just it's over. You're not used to it. I'm used to it. Cowboys not used to having the season be done entering week 11 and holding on for dear life.
Look, I don't know if our season is technically done. Anything can happen.
Okay.
The Hawkeyes, our season for flag is done, though, Rich.
Oh, I got to be honest.
I will tell you this, though. The Genty kid looks pretty damn good. He came up with another gem against San Jose State. If he could just start treating the Eagles like San Jose State with a star on the side of his helmet, he will be a star in his league. So you got that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Look at him. He's amazing. Did you watch any of that?
Yeah, I was watching a little late night, yeah.
And the best part about it for you, TJ, is his first name is Ashton. Can you make room for another Ashton?
Well, it's amazing. I tried to talk about Ashton a second ago. You guys all went, and changed the subject, and now you want to bring Ashton into the conversation.
You're talking about your kid's football team that you're coaching.
Yes.
That's a default to not talk about the Cowboys.
It's a deflect.
Yeah.
He's deflecting.
It's okay.
That's why I stick that aside.
Or it's like I want to talk about the kids because they worked hard. And
okay, great.
I think people can relate to to that.
Sounds good.
They're eight.
So what's that, Anne?
To get eight-year-olds to do something that you want them to do.
Yeah,
this is not really relevant to our national sports show.
Sure it is.
Okay, according to you. Okay, we'll let you determine what we talk about.
We want to talk about the Cowboys.
And I don't.
Well.
Because there's nothing to talk about.
That's why I was telling you. That's why I feel for you.
Yeah. Look, here's what's going to happen. Cowboys, I'm going to get smashed for this. They're winning tonight.
Okay. They're going to suck you back in.
They're winning tonight.
I like it. Yeah. I like it. Where are you going to watch it?
At home.
Ashton's?
Come on. Okay. No, we're not doing that. This is not relevant
he's not
to the
fighting
national
Monday
sports scene, Rich. Okay. So we won't talk about him.
Oh, he's not fighting Monday traffic. Okay. Man, be more
I don't want this game to end on awkwardness, please.
Golly.
Fun show, though. John David Washington, want to thank him. Everybody check out The Piano Lesson in theaters now and then on Netflix this Friday, starting this Friday. Is tomorrow Johnny Manziel Day?
Yeah, Johnny Football Day.
Johnny Football's coming in.
Nice.
You got any stuff at home? You don't have any Johnny Football stuff?
Like what?
A card or something?
I was looking. I was looking.
Because you got your...
I thought I had a jersey, but I don't. Believe it or not.
That's on Tuesday. We're back with more in a moment to wrap it up on the Roku channel. Hey, it's Rich Eisen here. Join me and my compadre, Chris Brockman, every Monday on the Overreaction Monday podcast.
Rich, Jameis has taken the Browns to the playoffs.
Dude, why can't they win 7-8 games to finish the year? Why not?
I'm not saying there's no why not, but this is a definitive statement that's clearly an overreaction and is perfect fodder for a show like this one. I appreciate you coming out of the gate hot. Come react or overreact with us. Overreaction Monday, wherever you listen. It's game over.
Over, man.